I invite you all to turn to Philippians chapter 4 or scroll if you have a copy of God's words with you. This morning will look a little bit different. When Paul returned from one of his trips, he took time to share all that the Lord had done in the book of Acts, and it says that everyone was really encouraged, and I hope to do the same this morning. So when you drove in this morning, what do you see in this picture here? You saw a crane that is very large. About 10 years ago, we made the decision to stay here as a church versus move up north to Clarksburg. And one of the main reasons why was because there were a number of townhomes and apartments that were going to be built right next to this property. In just a couple of weeks, we will mark 5 years in this building. This is the final phase of the construction, a.k.a. our mission field right next to us. The latest, it was a 120-unit apartment complex. So I just want to put you on notice. These are our neighbors to our church. And so we want to be very conscious to be praying for them and, Lord willing, seeing many of them, if they don't know him, to know him and be a part of our fellowship. So I want to thank you for your prayers, for the small group that went down to Brazil this past week. It was a different feeling than it was the last time we all went. It dipped down dangerously to 65, 70 degrees during the day. I'm just telling you, this is their winter time. So it's funny the perception, you know, how we perceive different things. This is at like 10 o'clock in the morning, and the sun was out. And we were all, you know, shorts and t-shirts, but no, it was scarf weather at that point. When we arrived, just as a little bit of background, we are partnering with a village, a kind of remote Indian village, indigenous village, called Laguna. And so we first visited another village of the same tribe. This is a beautiful, beautiful brother right here. He is Pastor Jonas. His grandfather was the first believer 100 years ago in the Tarena tribe, made up of many villages. He is a faithful, faithful servant of the Lord. So we spent the afternoon with them before getting back on the dirt road and heading to the village of Laguna. So next slide, you will see a picture of the church building. The primary purpose of us going down was to celebrate with them the 50th anniversary of their church. I'm wearing a shirt straight out of the village, 50 years right here. And they did a beautiful job of renovating and painting. It looked a whole lot better than it did 6 months ago. But this, my friends, is not the church. It is the building. This is the church. These are the people that we have come to know and to love. And they gathered every single night in their church to worship, to do different things, and to celebrate. I mean, the truth of the matter is, this is Latino culture. I think, honestly, it's more accurate to say the last 2 months they've been partying and celebrating, looking forward to this. But we were there for the tail end, for the week-long celebration. But I just want to give you a little taste. We have a few videos of what some of it looked like. They really, really, really like their bands there. And so generally speaking, the younger crowd will typically lead worship. So these are just little snippets. Here's just a little taste of some of it. What I appreciated about them is how passionate they are when they worship. I'm sorry it's so short. On the very, very last night, Saturday night, there was just a beautiful culmination, and they had some choreographed worship song followed by the choir, which basically was half the church, just went up front, and they sang "How Great Thou Art" in their native Tarena tongue. So just take a look at these next two videos together.
Deus é a minha alma,
You didn't see me in the first choreography bit. I was too busy directing everything. So on one night in particular, again, I just want to give you a little bit of snippet. They celebrated their culture, and I really appreciate this. They set one night aside to celebrate who they are and how they're distinct from people around them. Here's just a brief. They had a few native dances that they put on for us, but here's a short clip of that. So when we become a Christian, we don't cease being who we are, but they have put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are passionate about taking the gospel into the rest of their tribe. If you saw closely, there was a panther skin there. They're very proud of that one because they caught him. They took him out, so now they dance with him on them. This is Pastor Emilio and his wife. He is the pastor of the church in Laguna. Again, I can't say enough. Just beautiful, beautiful souls. They love the Lord with all of their heart. They serve others. They love others well. They're faithful to always point people towards Christ. And they're seeing more and more people, not only within their village, but as the gospel is pushing out to the different villages within their tribe, more and more people coming to know the Lord. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Apart from celebrating with them primarily in the evenings, during the day, we worked with children. We were working with kids morning and afternoon, and we were joined by some Brazilian brothers and sisters from about a 12-hour car ride north. They came down, and I can't say enough about how our hearts became intertwined. These people are dedicated to serving the Lord, in particular, through each of their personal testimonies, making sure every kid knows how much God loves them and wanting to be an influence from some of the bad things that happened to them when they were younger to step into the lives of kids and show them how much worth they have in the sight of God. This is one of the morning teaching times. This is Eduardo, again, a beautiful brother, loves the Lord with all of his heart. They have a little 5-month-old, and this was the morning teaching time. The morning was more structured. The afternoon was a little more less structured. Next slide, it might be hard to see, but they let me lead one of the chapel times, and so we were acting out Daniel in the lion's den. I don't speak Portuguese very well, but so we acted that out, and the key theme was trusting God in everything, just like Daniel did. Next slide is we each had a small group, so we struck a pose for you. But one of the things we fleshed out each day was after the lesson time, just talking with the kids and hearing them. Some of them come from believing families, some of them don't. Some of them were guests coming in. One of the prayer requests that just still gets me is one of the little girls, just saying that her dad does not come to church and he's far, far from God and she wants him, to come to know him. So it was, beautiful to be able to, serve with them. So afternoons were a little more, less structured and, we rolled the next video. When you work with kids, you just want to make it fun, right? I show you that because that was our parachute that we used for Awana that we left last time we were there because they loved it so much. Soccer, as you can imagine, this is Brazil. Football is big. So one of my favorite things was during downtime, just kind of wandering around. There was a school around the corner from the church, and there's always a little pickup game going on, usually involving kids. So Brazilian culture, I think football is infused into just about everything. So the first order of business when we got there on Tuesday, there was a soccer tournament. Of course, it's Brazil. So they said, well, you're going to field a team. I said, well, I don't play soccer. It's not my sport. They said it doesn't matter. So basically, they put us as a preliminary to the preliminary game. And we thought that we would have, they would mop the floor with us. However, two of the guys on our team, the Brazilians, did not let on how good they are. So we only lost 5-3. It was a respectable showing. I leave you with this little video, and I almost did not leave it with for you to see it, but when you work with kids, you just got to get on their level and laugh and smile with them, and they'll open up to you. So here's a little parting shot.
Well, here we are outside the church, and they said they want to get on the snap, but I'm not sure if they're going to make it. Of course, this never gets old for me. You think I'm mature, but I am not. Basically, just a big kid. But hello from Laguna.
All afternoon, we could just be on the snap. I mean, the filters, they just think they are the most hilarious things. And so the mature people that we send down just kind of add fuel to the fire. But I want to say a few words about these trips that we take. Because people will often ask, why send teams down to places like that? There's been some very legitimate critiques and criticisms of such teams going down. So I want to just take a moment to explain a little bit about our philosophy, my philosophy, as to why I promote trips like this. The first thing that I want you to know about every single team that Durwood Bible Church sends anywhere is it is predicated upon a relationship. We have a relationship, a partnership with every single ministry or missionary that we send a team to. I want you to know that. There's a relationship that is already in place. We are already financially supporting them. We already have a friendship with them. So when we go down, the second thing I want you to know is that we always go upon invitation. We never ask, hey, we'd like to come down next January. It's always in response to, would you please come? Or, yes, it would be a wonderful idea for you to send a team to us. So it's with people that we know, people that we love, people with whom we have a relationship and a friendship, and we're coming down or going wherever we go upon their invitation. And most of the time, when we leave, the question is, when will we see you next? When are you coming again? Because there's a friendship, there's a relationship there. Third, when we go, as we're invited, we help as requested. We don't set the agenda. We don't bulldoze our way in and say, here's what we're going to do when we're with you. Here's how we're going to bless you. We listen, we take suggestions, and we implement what has already been asked of us. And no, specifically, we don't take away jobs from those who are wherever we're going. These aren't, any tasks that we do aren't really something that would be used to hire people from the locale in the first place. And fifth and final, I take you back, relationship first. It's all about a relationship that we have with people in other parts of the world. And you might also ask the question, why does Colin go? You might notice I travel usually about twice a year. Why does your lead pastor go? I'm going to tell you exactly why. When I go, when I participate in trips like this, they're not easy. We were in a very remote village. Accommodations weren't that great. That's not the stuff that you highlight, though. But I'll tell you this. When I sit or stand in a worship service filled with the Tirana, worshiping in a language that I do not understand, when I see people come up front and speak passionately, testimonies or preaching, again, I don't understand a word. But I'll tell you what, my cup is filled. Because I see God at work in a culture other than mine, different language. As we enter in for the week or so that we're theirs, we enter into their culture, into their homes, eat their food, listen to their language, see their culture, and then we go and we worship and we see them raising their hands to the very same God that I do. I hear testimonies of people whose lives have been transformed, of people who have struggled to trust God, but declare that He is good and He is faithful. It fills my cup. I wouldn't ask you to do or to consider doing that which I wouldn't do myself. So anyway, on to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, we're going to wrap up this beautiful letter. We're going to pick it up in verse 14. Paul is speaking here about a financial gift that the Philippians had given him. So we'll continue reading in verse 14. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble, and you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with you, who are with me, greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. What I like to do in this section is, I was reflecting and studying and reading this last section. There are three concepts that really impressed me. The first one is, at the very beginning, you'll see the word partnership. So I want to talk a little bit about church partnership. Paul commended the Philippian church for their partnership with him. He mentioned other churches, other believers, and elsewhere in Scripture, you will see churches partnering with other churches, some of them local to each other, some of them far away. The partnership in specific that he's speaking about here is financial. Every ministry that we partner with, locally or globally, we financially support. But it's more than that. It's more than simply sending a check every month to a given missionary or such. Locally, I'm so excited about United in Action. You heard Tony preach last Sunday. Churches are coming together. We're partnering together. We're serving together. We're worshiping together. Globally, Durwood Bible Church, if you look out in the foyer, take time, the wall that's there that shows where we are represented throughout the world. And yes, the foundation of it is we send a monthly check. But we also seek to enter into the lives of the believers that we partner with and support. Look at this picture right here. This was just one of those unscripted, spontaneous moments. This is the pastor's house. We had taken a walk through the village. And to you, I mean, you see a lot of people. Let me tell you what I see. I see an Indian couple leading the church in Laguna. Camila, the wife, is the one who is pictured here. I see a bunch of us from the United States coming down to serve the best we can for a week. I see other Brazilians who love the ministry, who drove 12 hours to be with us and to serve and to lead the ministry to the children. I also see my British cousin in the picture as well, who joined us. Every time they would just introduce us four as, you know, this is a group from America, and every time Joe would just bow his head because he wanted everyone to know that he's British. But guys, cultures coming together for the purpose of serving for the common good. It's beautiful. It's partnership. Locally, we live in the most diverse area in the United States of America. What a beautiful opportunity before us, not to have our own worship services and projects and this and that all together, but coming together. Yes, we might have our church, which is our home church, but understanding the struggles that other congregations have and people within them and getting to know them, and we're getting there. Second concept I want to bring up. Paul mentions an acceptable sacrifice. He talks about a fragrant offering. He said the Philippians' financial gift was a fragrant offering. It was an acceptable sacrifice. And he says it was pleasing to God. I want to stop there for just a moment. Some of this language we see more in the Old Testament than in the New. You know, a sacrifice, fragrant aroma, those type things. But I really appreciate what Paul says to the Philippians. He says, when you took initiative, when you saw that I had a need, you took action. You weren't passive. You saw a need and you sought to meet that need. I don't know how sacrificially they give. I don't know those details. Maybe they just skimmed some off the top. Maybe they dug down deep and made sacrifices as spoken of elsewhere, particularly in the book of Acts. But here's what I know. Financially or otherwise, when we, particularly within the household of God, when we perceive a need, God is pleased when we seek to meet those needs the best that we possibly can, as imperfectly as it might be at times. So let me illustrate this, and I will forewarn you, this is a Colin story. So we had to swing by the grocery store to pick up some food for the week. I'm just going to tell you, when you go to Giant around here or wherever you go, do you see what is behind me? Do you see that beautiful picture? They had a display full of skewers. Now, these were not, you know, little, you know, kebab things here that you, disposable things. These were metal, long, right at the back of the store. So what did Colin do? Of course. No, I'm just saying, I can feed my entire family off of this skewer right here. It is a beautiful thing. So I bought this, and I didn't really think it through too well, because I was thinking in my mind that this would fit in my suitcase, but it does not. It does not fit in my suitcase. So when the time came for us to depart, I had a little bit of a challenge before me because I needed to get this on the plane without it being confiscated or confused for a weapon or something like that, which my kids have already used it for. So we get to the check-in counter, and bear in mind, I wasn't asking to bring this in the cabin. I understand that would be frowned upon. But even with checking it through, since it wasn't in a suitcase, you know, there's a little bit of leeriness on their part. So the guy who helped us, who was checking us in, his name is Diego. Diego was very helpful. He said, because this is the point I want you to catch on to here. When other people might have said no, Diego looked at me, he winked, and he grinned, and he said, "You want to take this home, don't you? A little piece of Brazil." I said, "Yes, that is exactly." He obviously was a fellow meat lover, so I said, "Listen, I said, how can I take this home?" He said, "Well, it would be preferable if maybe you go get it professionally wrapped, and then we'll put it on the cargo part." He said, "Or I can just help you myself." I said, "Well, Diego," I said, "well, if you are willing to help me, I would appreciate not having to spend money to get it professionally wrapped." He says, "No problem." He was very excited about this little project. So Diego, this is what he does. Next picture, please. He pulls out a supermarket little plastic bag and he gets out some duct tape. You give a guy some duct tape and a plastic bag, they can do anything. So he wraps it up in a plastic bag. Now, if you can see at the tip there, he said, "Look, it's wrapped. No one will think it's dangerous." There's about 4 inches at the end. It's basically poking out. He was so happy to help. Now, this is a small airport, 2 gates. So when we're getting ready to load the plane, next one, you see Diego out on the tarmac. Now, the funny thing is, right behind us is our plane, and I think it's in this, before they were loading the luggage, so we were watching, because this is like a tiny little airport, so we're watching our luggage go on, you know, the little conveyor belt that goes up. So there's these big boxes and suitcases, and then there's this blank spot. And if you look closely, we can see this little thing going up the conveyor belt going on. So when we saw Diego, I said, "I just want to thank you." He was so proud of what he had done, of what he had accomplished. So he said to say hello to everyone in America. So Diego says hello. Now, why do I tell you this little story? Diego's solution really probably wasn't the best, nor was it the most professional. And yes, when I arrived in Dulles, we switched to United, you know, halfway through, I got a mouthful from the special luggage department I had to pick it up from. You know what Diego did? This is a lighthearted, surface level illustration. Diego, I never spoke to him about this, but he loves to grill. I know he does. He saw the value of what I had in my hand. And he was going to see it through. He took initiative. Not the best wrap job, for sure. But he got it through. Can I just say this? Sometimes we hold ourselves back because we perceive that we're not good enough. What could I ever offer here? Aren't there a million people who could do things 10 times better than me? Aren't I the unqualified one, the inexperienced one? Let me tell you something. What I see in this verse here is Paul said, it is pleasing to God when they saw a need and they acted on it. Again, I don't know all the details of how that came about or the sacrifices they made. But can I say this? When you see a need around you, don't look for the next person to fill it. Ask God, how can you use me here? Don't take yourself out of the game because you're not good enough, smart enough, fast enough, whatever, whatever, whatever. The Lord delights to use us. He delights to use those of us who are weak and to show himself strong. And to be a real blessing. And I promise you, the gifts that they sent were a blessing to Paul as his hands were chained. Remember from the very beginning, this is not at all exactly how Paul had anticipated on coming to Rome. And third and final, there's this verse that is very, very well known. He said, "My God will supply all of your needs in accordance to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." Now, there are a number of verses and passages which have become, I'll use the word iconic, that you see on shirts and jewelry and pictures and this and that. And they're beautiful verses. But particularly we Westerners, we love to kind of wrench them out of context and apply them in ways that the original authors probably had no intent of us ever applying them. This is a beautiful, beautiful statement. It's a promise. But you need to step back and look at the context. The context that surrounds this promise, this statement, is this. The Philippians had taken initiative. The Philippians had taken up an offering because the Philippians had seen a need. Perhaps they gave very sacrificially. And so in that context, the Spirit is saying, when you allow me to use you to be generous in the lives of other people, when there is a real need, we can count that God will take care of us. That he will meet our needs as we are others focused, as we're more concerned about others than we are ourselves. This is not saying that when you get your first job, that God is going to provide the nicest vehicle, climate controlled, and whatever else you like in your vehicle, and on down the list. That's not what he's saying. These are not wants or desires, they're needs. As you set your heart and your mind to serve God, and please do that, God will take care of your needs along the way. Let me just try to tie this in a little bit with a little bit of what we did down in Laguna Village. Before we left, we sent a gift of $2,000 to complete the construction on the structure that we had begun back in January. It was the roof. So it was really nice while we were there to see the guy come in and bring all the roofing supplies that were beginning, so that we did some work, and it was really specialized work, so we didn't do a whole lot. But while we were there, we were able to see the roof begin to be finished. It's funny, the driver, he didn't just have roofing supplies, he also had pineapples, and he was trying really hard to sell some to the gringo before he drove off. But here's what I want you to see. This is a tangible expression of our love for them. This structure is going to be used by Sarita. She is the beautiful saint, twice widowed, who gives her life to serve children. She drives into these villages and she loves on and teaches and instructs the kids in the Lord. This was their request to us that we help. Obviously, we financed it, but also helped build it as well. But here's something that I discovered while I was down there. One of the issues that they are addressing on a practical level is literacy. It's a village. And so one thing that Sarita has in her mind is one of the rooms she wants to make a library. Because in particular, they do not have children's books. They don't have the type of, like for young kids, you know, picture books that draw a kid in and develop a love for reading in him or her. So we would like to take a collection for anyone who's interested so that they can buy good, it'll be Portuguese children's books to instill a love of reading into the children and to serve the village in that way. So if this interests you at all, you can put in a separate check into the offering and just kind of earmark it for books, Brazil, something like that. And we will send that money down so she can buy some good books there and also some bookshelves and things like that. So I commend to you this book of Philippians. I commend to you as well our partnership in Brazil. I've spent some time making sure this is launched well, making sure that we understand what we're doing, why we're there, what our purpose is. And I'm just telling you, if they had it their way, every single one of you would jump on a plane and come down and meet them. They have a lot of love for us, for the few of us who have gone down and represented Durwa Bible Church. But I leave you with this last verse. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. As Kimberly prayed, yes, indeed, we have many, many challenges that many of us are facing individually, many heartaches, much sadness and disappointment. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ truly be ours in abundance as we serve him. Would you join me for a word of prayer? It's a very good thing and a very fitting thing at the end of a sermon series. We spent a number of months in Philippians that we would do a little inventory in our own lives, that we would take stock of who we are, what we're doing, what we're about. For those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ, are we engaged in serving him? Are we connecting with other believers? Because the Lord never designed any of us to operate as an island unto ourselves. He designed us to live in community, to be open with others, to have fellowship, to grow, to sharpen. If you're here this morning, you can't answer this question. If you were to die today, where would you spend eternity? Most of the New Testament is really answering that very question. Perhaps you've heard of Jesus Christ. Perhaps you've heard the Christmas story, the Easter story, you know, being born with the animals and suffering on a cross. None of that was just folklore. None of that was just a nice little story put together around a campfire. But indeed, as we look at the Hebrew scriptures, for hundreds of years they anticipated the arrival of the great and the beautiful one, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. You need to know that the Lord Jesus Christ, being sinless himself, being the very Son of God, suffered and died, not for anything he had truly done, but he suffered and died in the place of sinners like you and me. In fact, the Bible says that God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Lord Jesus Christ gave himself, was buried, and rose again. And here's the great news. We who by nature and decision are sinners separated from God. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Have you put your faith, your confidence, your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone as the only one to save you, the only one to bring forgiveness, the only one to reconcile you to God, the only one to save you from the wrath to come? That's the question. The great news is it costs you no money, and you can't merit it anyway. Call on the name of the Lord for mercy, and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the beauty and the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the power of the gospel to take our mess and give us a message, to take our tests and give us a testimony. Thank you for the work that you're doing in the Southern Hemisphere, in a village that really doesn't even show up on most searches, doesn't even show up on GPS. Thank you for the way that you brought the gospel into the Tarana tribe 100 years ago. And village by village, you are transforming people. Thank you for the friendship that we have with them. Thank you for the love that exists between a village and our congregation. Father, we pray that you will grow and nurture and develop and water that relationship we have with them. Help us to serve them. They pray faithfully for us. Our fervent prayer is that if there is but one person who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, that today would be the day of their salvation. That they would put their trust in Jesus Christ. All of these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.